You're listening to the Gospel Project for Preschooling Kids Weekly Leader Training, helping you teach your kids the big story of the Bible. Welcome once again to the Leader Training Podcast for the Gospel Project for Preschool and Kids. I'm Brian Dobosik, and with me, as always, is Karen Jones. Karen, this week we are talking about Unit 19, Session 3, Jesus Was Born.
But wait, Brian, it's not Christmas time.
Well, it's always Christmas time. Because Jesus always matters.
Exactly. Okay, continue. Sorry to interrupt.
That's all right. So the big idea of this session is kind of a gimme. This is the birth of Jesus, a miraculous birth, a miraculous event that the world had been waiting for since Genesis 3:15. And again, this is, I mean, those of you who have been using the Gospel Project from the beginning of this cycle or even longer, you know, we have been mentioning Jesus over and over again. We mention him in every session because all the story of Scripture is about him. And so many times we've said, just wait, because Jesus is coming. Just wait. Jesus is the greater David. He's the greater king. He's the greater whatever. And so often we've talked about this problem of sin and the answer that God would provide in Jesus. And for many of us, it seems like it's taken forever to get here, right? Mm-hmm. But then think about what it was like for humanity waiting thousands of years for the birth of Jesus. And that's what we're talking about. So we're talking about the birth of Jesus, and that just kind of naturally takes me to the first area needing caution or extra prep time, that it may feel odd. While we're glad to finally get to Jesus in the storyline of Scripture, as you joked about, Karen, it may feel odd to talk about the birth of Jesus in a time of the year when it's not Christmas time, it's not December. And for those of you who are there who say, "Oh, this just feels kind of weird," we just want to say embrace it.
Yeah. I would just say own it. I think it's even. I kind of think it works out great because, you know, the birth of Jesus is not something to, as Brian joked about, it's good news every day. I mean, it really is. It is something to celebrate, and it affects every single moment of our lives. And so it's definitely worth helping kids to differentiate that Jesus' birth is not just for Christmas. Like, it is an integral part of this grand narrative that we're teaching in the Gospel Project. So my advice is to embrace it and go into your Christmas storage and pull out the manger sets, your nativity puzzles, your jingle bells, red and green sprinkles. Get all that stuff out and get ready and just own it and make it exciting. So, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, just to nerd out for a minute, it's spring. If you're using this session during our suggested use cycle, it's spring. You may be using it off cycle at a different time, but if you are using it, during the spring, a lot of experts believe that Jesus actually was born this time of the year. That they would argue for a spring. It's a lot to do with the shepherds being out with the sheep when they might have been out. But I've also heard arguments that winter could have been possible as well. But a lot of people say, well, no, Christmas, of course, in December because of an edict by a Roman emperor many years ago during a pagan holiday. And so they would say, no, spring is actually the real time. So I only mentioned that to nerd out for a minute to say, you know, It actually could be really helpful, especially if you teach kids. I don't know if you want to have this conversation with preschoolers.
Probably not.
But if you teach kids especially, this is a great opportunity to talk about, hey, you know, this could have been the time of year when Jesus was born. And talk about, you know, December could have been an arbitrary time that was chosen to celebrate. And so we could be celebrating or studying this session really in a timely way.
God in his providence could have ordained it that way. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So embrace this. I would be upfront with the kids. You know, and I remember years ago when I was in student ministry and I would teach a session like this apart from Christmas time, and some of my students would kind of, you know, say, wait, it's not Christmas and everything. And so I always found it good just to be proactive. And and if there is some kind of weirdness or whatever, just point it out. And kind of like we've encouraged you to consider, there's no wrong time. There's no bad time to talk about the birth of Jesus Christ. All right. So what else should we keep in mind? Any areas of caution or anything needing extra prep time or anything like that?
Well, I think just you go ahead. Do you want me to do that, B? Do you want me to do B? I didn't have anything specific.
Okay, I'll
I can talk about B, but
All right. So with that word of caution, again, just understanding that, there's no bad time to study the Christmas story. And if it does feel old and tired to you or your kids, I think, you know, there's a teaching opportunity there as well, mm-hmm. To kind of press underneath and think about, you know, we should be excited.
Yeah.
About the birth of Jesus, we it should not be old. When it becomes too familiar, that's a problem. But with that said, let's shift gears. Let's talk about what we are excited about God potentially doing through this session. So, Karen, what do you have in mind?
Well, I'm just excited for kids to understand that, you know, Jesus came because he loves us. You know, he came for to redeem, you know, people. And so I'm excited for them just to see how, you know, his love was so great that he humbled himself in such an amazing way. And so I'm excited for kids to get exposed to that more and more. I need to be reminded of that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I kind of camp out on the message from the angels that this was going to be mm-hmm. good news of great joy.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of goes what we just talked about a minute ago, that word of caution that this can be, this account can be too familiar at times. It can feel out of the
true.
Season.
Mm-hmm.
And when we stop and think, wait a minute, we're talking about good news of great joy. We're talking about Jesus, God himself taking on humanity mm-hmm. and humbling himself. To come to earth, to step into his creation so that he could live a perfect life, die on the cross, suffering a horrendous death, and then be raised from the dead to conquer sin and death itself. Man, that is good news of great joy. And it should do something within us whenever we study it. So I'm excited about you as leaders having the opportunity to encourage your kids to that regard. And also, we have to keep in mind, some of our kids may not have heard this before.
That's true, yeah.
We live in an increasingly biblically illiterate culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so don't assume all of your kids know what this is all about, or don't assume that they don't understand, they can't see past the commercialization Christmas when it comes to the story of Jesus. But the other thing that I'm excited about is that phrase for all people, mm-hmm. that this is good news of great joy for all people. And this, to me, I think is something that we as the church today have got to do better at. Our culture is full of isms.
Yeah.
Racism, sexism, you go down the list, nationalism, where we ascribe greater or lesser value to other people based on whether they're like us or unlike us.
Mm-hmm.
And the gospel puts all that to death.
Yes.
That all of that is antithetical to the gospel. The gospel is about two types of people, lost and found.
Yeah.
Unregenerate and regenerate. And when we think about what Christ did, he laid down his life for all of us who were unregenerate apart from him, all of us who were heinous, wicked, sinful people in rebellion against God, no matter what our skin tone is, no matter how much our income is, no matter what language we speak, all those other things don't matter. And yet Christ laid down his life not just for people like us. He laid down his people for everyone.
Yeah.
And there's beauty in that, and there's conviction in that, because, again, sin in us pushes back against that. And so this is a great session for us to help get into the Holy Spirit working, of course, getting to the minds and hearts of our kids. And proactively, for many, we hope— but many already may have bought into isms.
Yeah, yeah.
And this can be a course correct for them through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that for me is such an honor to get to be a part of the Gospel Project is, and especially preschool. I mean, we're helping to shape the worldviews that these kids are going to have the rest of their lives. I mean, babies and toddlers, preschoolers, all those foundational ways of thinking and viewing the world are being formed. And I just think we have such an opportunity to shift that maybe we'll help raise up this next generation that values everyone made in the image of God, that values that. I think Tim Keller says that we're all more sinful and flawed than we ever dared believe, but more loved and accepted than we ever dared hope. And just that we could understand that the gospel makes us all equal. You know, we're all sinners. We all need to be saved, but we're also all incredibly loved and accepted.
Well, and this is a good time for us. Let's press into this a little bit more, Karen, because
mm-hmm.
again, I have to keep in mind that a lot of people probably have just started using the Gospel Project, and even our longtime users, this is an area that is at least uncomfortable for many.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's an area that some people push back on when we talk about preschoolers and kids being sinners.
Yeah, yeah, true.
And we would hold as the Bible teaches, that everybody is born in sin.
Yeah.
Everybody needs a redeemer.
Mm-hmm.
We need Jesus Christ. And so that's why we, and not to be ugly about it, we don't delight in this. We don't sit here from our ivory tower in Nashville, Tennessee, rubbing our hands together with sinister laughs, saying, oh, we get to tell preschoolers they're sinners. No,
yeah.
that's not our heart at all.
Yeah.
Our heart is that by telling the truth to preschoolers and kids, that they hear that they're sinners in need of in a Savior, but that are loved by God, which is why He sent a Savior, that they have the opportunity to respond by trusting in Him. We believe it's unloving for us to make kids and preschoolers believe that they're okay with God when they're not.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially if they grow up just with what the culture tells them, you know, be who you are, accept who you are. I mean, the culture is feeding them lies from the moment they are out of the womb. And we really just don't feel like we have any time to waste. I mean, I just feel like the gospel is so important. And two, you can't really grasp how great the good news is if you don't understand just where you are, like just your total barrenness, poverty in spirit, you know, that we desperately need the gospel. We're sinners.
Yeah, if you look at this session and you say the birth of Jesus was good news for them.
Yeah.
Instead of saying this is good news for us,
mm-hmm.
then you're missing it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And again, so our preschoolers and our kids, our heart is that we want our preschoolers and our kids to understand that Jesus was a great gift for them because mm-hmm. they needed forgiveness, and they can be forgiven by trusting in Jesus. So while you will probably see quite a lot of talk about sin in the Gospel Project, we also hope and pray you recognize we talk just as much about love and forgiveness and salvation through Jesus. We just want to present that in balance.
Absolutely. Yeah. I hope that anytime you see the words sin and death in the Gospel Project, especially for preschoolers, that you'll quickly see it followed by life and salvation and rescuing. And so we want to hold those in tension. Yeah.
So, and again, we strive to craft a resource that uses age appropriate language,
mm-hmm.
Not only in the concepts we introduce, but also the language. But you know your preschoolers and kids better. Feel free to use language that you believe is best for them.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we hope you see, man, this session is meaningless
mm-hmm.
to our preschoolers and our kids if they don't understand sin.
Yeah, absolutely. What was the point in him coming?
Exactly.
You know, not for us to get gifts from Santa.
So even this session where a lot of people would say, oh, this is a good, safe session, right? This talks mm-hmm. about the birth of baby Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, this is how can it get any more preschool friendly than this one?
Yeah.
Well, actually, when you think about it and press into it,
yeah, it's really not a very, yeah,
I exactly.
mean, it's a virgin giving birth.
Yeah, there are other details
too,
as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
But I mean, when you can't teach this rightly without the why.
Yeah.
Why is it significant? Why was the birth of Jesus good news of great joy
mm-hmm.
for all people? Because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Exactly.
All is a big word, even though it's three letters, that includes our preschoolers and our kids.
Absolutely,
so I mean, really, you cannot not talk about sin in this story.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I just thought it was a good time for us to kind of, that's usually an elephant in the corner of the room
all the time, yeah.
And so let's just kind of bring that elephant out, pet him for a minute, and then send him back.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, so let's end the episode there. Thank you for listening to today's episode of the podcast. We hope that you have found it helpful as you prepare to teach the Gospel Project for kids and preschool. And for more information on helpful resources, visit gospelproject.com.